We probably don't need to be told that joy should be one of the marks of the Christian life. It should be one of the things that people notice about us as we go about our lives day to day. They should be able to see a joy in us, maybe a joy that can't be explained, which maybe raises more of an eyebrow. How can they still be joyful? How can they still have that deep-seated joy when you look at all that's going on in them and around them? And that joy should be one of those things that marks us. And after all, it is one of the fruit, part of the fruit of the Spirit. As the Spirit works in us, changing us, transforming us to be more and more like Jesus, one of the things that should be growing in us is our deep-seated sense of joy. But it is a sad thing that often is one of the last aspects of our Christian lives that people see in us. And if you were to ask people about the sort of stereotype of what it is to be a Christian, it might be a totally different thing. It might be somber. It might be severe. It might be harsh. It might be dark almost. And yet, all through the Bible, this aspect of joy keeps bubbling to the surface. If you were to look in a concordance or check on your phone, I think joy is mentioned over 200 times throughout Scripture. It's just one of those things that's assumed should be part of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And it should work itself out in a joy that demonstrates itself in our lives. Sometimes we go looking for that joy. We go hunting for joy, searching for it. And the ironic thing is that no matter how hard we look for joy, we fail to find it. It's a bit like trying to catch the wind. Searching for joy, looking for joy. How many people spend their days just searching for something that will bring them joy? But the truth is that we can't find joy in itself, separated from everything else. Joy just in a vacuum. We find joy in people and things. And supremely, we find joy in our relationship with God. That joy is, if you like, a byproduct of our relationship with God. It's not that we've gone looking for joy and found it. We've gone into this relationship with God. And part of that relationship is this joy that bubbles up in our lives. Christine read for us that passage from Philippians, where Paul sets out some of the things that could possibly give us joy. Maybe it's about who and what we are. That's where we look for our joy. And Paul lists all the things. He said, well, you know, I'm from the right background. I've got the right pedigree. My status in society is okay. I'm really, really good at keeping the law. These are all things that perhaps should bring him joy, but Paul is quite clear that all those things are nonsense, rubbish. Compared to what? Compared to knowing Jesus. And he starts that little chapter by simply saying, rejoice in who you are, in what you are, in what you've achieved. No, rejoice in the Lord. Find your joy in the Lord. And it's not just a knowing Jesus somehow in our heads, knowing about Jesus. Paul goes on to say he wants to know in his own life the power of the resurrection. It's not just the knowing about something over there, it's experiencing the power of the resurrection. It's being part of all that Jesus calls us into. Having fellowship with him in his suffering. That's where our joy is. And if we spend our time and our energy looking for that joy elsewhere, then we are going to be so frustrated. And that caricature of us as being joyless, lifeless people is going to be so true. Our joy is in the Lord. Sometimes we think that joy is to do with the absence of any suffering, the absence of any hardship. But again, all through Scripture, we discover that's not the case. It's not necessarily just because suffering and hardship and difficulty is missing. It's because of the presence of God. That's where our joy is. Came across a little meditation by Scotty Smith the last couple of weeks that I found helpful. And he points us towards two Bible verses. This is the first one from Luke chapter 10. 72 disciples have been sent out, if you like, on a mission trip. Jesus sends out the 72 disciples to teach and to heal, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. And they come back and they are absolutely bouncing. They are so excited. And they look at Jesus and say, "Even the demons submit to us in your name, Jesus." This has been a great time. And you can imagine the joy. You can imagine the excitement as those 72 come back and report to Jesus. But here's what Jesus says. Don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Yes, they do. You've experienced that. But don't rejoice in that. Rejoice instead that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice that you belong to God. Rejoice that you're His children. Wasn't in what they did. It was in who they had their relationship with. So things were great for them. But Jesus reminds them, no, your true joy is in me. Your true joy is because your names are written in heaven. The other verse that Scotty Smith pointed us to was a verse from the prophet Habakkuk. If the disciples were living in this, if we like, glow of success, Habakkuk was living at a time when there was looming darkness coming. When God was bringing judgment on his people. And he lived in an economy which was agricultural. And he says this, even if the fig trees don't bear any fruit, even if there is no harvest in the field, even if there are no animals in the pens, and here it is, yet will I rejoice. Excuse me. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. So the disciples coming back are absolutely bouncing. They're on top of the world. Habakkuk is looking at this dark cloud that's looming, but they both find their joy in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. All of us wish that life was consistently good. Wouldn't it be great if we could wake up in the morning and know that the day that stretched out ahead was just going to be nice, easy, good. But all of us know it's not. All of us have been through enough. We've experienced it. And also we have the understanding of Scripture, which reminds us that's not the case. Jesus simply says, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. So no sad, difficult, anxious, vulnerable times when we seem to be marked by heartache and sleepless nights, where's our joy? In our circumstances? Or in the God who never leaves us or forsakes us? Our joy is in the Lord. Our joy is in Christ, in knowing Him. That's at the very heart of who and what we are here in this place. On our bulletin every week, we print it, to know Christ and lovingly to make Him known. It quite deliberately doesn't say to know about Christ. Our joy is in knowing Him, experiencing Him, even when life is difficult, sad, disappointing. So, for me, the question is, well, where do I look for my joy? Where do I turn when life doesn't seem to be joyless, doesn't seem to be joyful? It's easy to turn to the things that we think will just lift us, brighten life for us. But the Bible points us again and again to Jesus. To come to Him, to confess our sins, to repent from those sins, to commit ourselves to Him, and in Him, to find a joy that cannot be shaken. That's the joy that people notice. Whenever our circumstances should, by all human reasoning, drag us down, and we still have that deep-seated joy, that's what people notice. That's what makes the difference. Our joy is in the Lord. Paul writes to the early church, the church in Rome, and simply says this. This is his prayer. It's my prayer for you folks. It's my prayer for myself. May the God of all hope fill you with a little bit of joy, a smidgen of peace. No. May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May this be our experience today, tomorrow, all the other days that we're given. To know ourselves, to be filled with all joy and all peace through trusting in Him. May God give us the grace to be those trusting people. And may He bless us with His joy. Let's pray together. Lord, forgive us that we often turn to other things, other people. When we look for joy, we expect from them what you alone can give. Forgive us. And in these moments, help us, Lord, to trust you in all things, at all times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.